curious, right? So it was just, here's the bummer stuff, right? Every time, here it is. There is complexity with housing insecurity. And I think it's such an important thing to address because it's the thing that we see but yet we ignore. And part of me wonders, because there's a fella here, if you ever, I work here every day obviously, but in the evening when I walk around the corner past the skate shop, there is a person who does not have secure housing, who stands there and asks for things every night. And I began to examine my bias around housing insecurity around this person. And I don't want to like put too much thought into this, but I guess I'm curious to hear from y'all. What's your reactions to that? Where does your mind go with housing insecurity? There's just so many different angles, and I see the wheels turning. Especially on our guest on the blue microphone over there. But where does your mind go with housing insecurity?
Something to get there. I don't think anybody is trying to get there in that place in their life, ever. And it is hard. And at home, at least, it's warm. And I think about that here when we run around up here, especially in the winter, it's freezing. And even if it's just those around these people, have people that love them, I want them to be warm. And I think, of course, I care about safety, and of course, I care about security and other things that you would worry about. You're not in a place where you're thinking about maybe creating a space, and that's why I understand completely why that would be a worry, but that would not be my top worry. But I think there are ways to mediate those worries.
just that layer that has naturally come up, right? This tension is, you know, you just name the spectrum of all of this, yet what's most important? And I think that that feels really hard in the climate that you're in. And so, you know, me starting to talk about what's going on in your hearts and minds right now, what's your reaction? Because there's dehumanization when we're not proximate.
Mm-hmm.
How can you have compassion and empathy for someone when you can't even connect with them?
Exactly. Yes.
And that's the tension I'm feeling in this process. Every night I walk out there, I don't have money to walk in, I don't have anything of that.
Yeah.
And then I see this person asking. And then I feel this in myself and I'm like, oh, I want to help. But I also don't feel proximate to them. And the biases that media has taught me plays a role in this. And so there's humanness, right, in all of this, whether it's the housing insecurity or the disagreement. I think there's just so much to talk about. Davis, what's happening, right? I'm watching this, those eyes just turn. What's going on?
I like just filling up this conversation. I think that's what's happening in my body right now is I think that I feel guilt, being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when I see the same kind of uncles or aunties on the street, you know, who, you know, don't have the means to pay for their next loaf of bread and whatnot. And then similarly, a lot of times I don't give because I don't have, you know, and then, having that kind of privilege. It wasn't necessarily proximal to me, you know, but living a life of need. And so I think that that's what comes up for me as you kind of describe, you know. You know, sometimes there's not a giving because there's not a feeling of proximate, but a feeling proximal to the person outside. Like I said, there's a feeling of guilt of like, you know, I can go home and not worry about my next electricity bill because, you know, because of the financial privilege that I'm in right now.
I still care because I wasn't anticipating talking about this, but when I told my parents that I was that we were going to buy this home that we were recently in, came this story from my father that I did not know. That for a year and a half, they lived in an abandoned house. And when Jesus was talking about it, I was remembering the story. And it took a community of people to support them. It took sacrifice, it took time, and we got out of that situation. But I just felt sadness again. Sadness for my parents, my grandparents at the time. My uncle and my aunt. To live in this abandoned house.
difference is what it was like. And I think that what I'm feeling right now is, I don't think I ever had a chance to express my gratitude to my dad, because we've never known that life. That he lived and that my grandpa lived, we've never known that life. And so that's why, you know, it's hard for me to feel proximate to those who, you know, I don't have the same security in housing that I do. And I have my dad to thank for that privilege. But like, there's, again, there's never a feeling of need that we had growing up. And I know my privilege with that. And for us to have that access to that kind of privilege, my dad was working 80 hours a week, 2 jobs. And my mom was working full-time too. And so I think that's another reason why there's both this guilt and also this gratitude towards my dad. And like, he worked so damn hard to give us complete opposite kind of experience. From the time I was a bit until the time I was older, there's never necessarily that experience of need. And so for me, that's why there's usually that feeling of guilt when I see, you know, when I see, you know, folks like people on the street. Because I've been raised by parents that have allowed me so much kind of comfort and security.
You know, as you're saying all of this and hearing it, and I can't help but to see the parallels that happens with my privilege and discomfort of the conversations related to race. I can't help but to think of other ways where people have privilege and can disconnect. And I'm not saying that you're doing that intentionally, but that's the humanness as to why we have to do our work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if we don't understand that discomfort within there, we never can challenge ourselves to be proximate and have empathy and care. And I think that's something that's so missing in such a polarized political system that has extremes and comes at the cost of people. Literally the cost of people. And I join you in that privilege as a male, as the sisters were talking about feel unsafe. I'm not gonna kick him if he was trying to come at me, like I'm not scared of that. And so like there's so many areas in our lives we do not see because we have not looked at, and I think that's a powerful thing I'm experiencing right now in this space. And I feel gratitude that we can figure that and experience that together here.
That is why I'm always grateful for this space. I think that like being able to share together allows me to have proximity that I wouldn't have otherwise. Like it creates that opportunity, and that's why I kind of how we talked about before, like showing it to me. And I think having that opportunity to show each other ourselves and show each other our experiences and the different things that we do have proximity to is what makes this so special for me. A lot of the time is being able to not just connect to one another individually, but to be able to connect to all that we're also each connected to because we're sharing.
And that's the concept of people.
Yeah.
That as we are together, we are in that way. All the pain that I bring, all the privilege that I bring, becomes part of your experience. And the Western world would call that codependency, but culturally, that's how we heal.
Yeah.
Yes. That people, that source of connection.
to keep the TV off. I don't want to watch the news.